Our associate pastor is going to be delivering a message. I've been giving a sermon every Sunday since March of last year. And I was like, it's time. I need a break. And so I've asked a couple of gentlemen to help me this series on the Beatitudes. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Pastor Bill. And he's going to talk about the meek today. Go ahead. Y'all can give him a hand if you want.
I'm going to sit down so you can come and do that again. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Let's just raise our hands and praise Him. Heavenly Father, we give You glory. We give You honor. This is Your church. We're Your people. We belong to You. We give You all the honor and all the praise this morning. We thank You for what You're going to do in this service and what You've done this for us, sir. Father, we speak healing. We speak strength. And Father, we speak financial blessings to this church. Father, we know that You're in charge. And we allow that. We want that. We desire that. So we give You all the praise this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I do have a message. And that's high altitude for a short guy like me. So I wanted to get down to where you're at. So you can look. Can you see me?
Yes.
Jim, you can see me back there? Yeah, okay. I look pretty good? Don't shake the head. I ain't. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. The pastor said, would you? And I made a mistake. I think maybe. I said, yes. And then he says, oh, I forgot to tell you, there's 2 weeks you got to do this. So if you don't show up next week, I will really feel bad. So I'm just starting the guilt deal now so you can think about it so you can be next week. Turn with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter. We're going to talk about the Beatitudes this morning. And we're going to go to the 5th verse. He told me what I had to preach on, but He didn't give me the sermon to go with it. So I had to create that all by myself and the working of the Holy Spirit. Are you there? Matthew 5th chapter. Let me start with the first verse. And seeing the multitude, He went up on the mountain, and when He had seated, His disciples came to Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, go to the 5th verse. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, I don't know what you know about inheriting things, but generally somebody leaves it to you. You get it. And it makes no difference whether you deserve it or you don't deserve it, you get it. But Jesus is telling them, if you operate in the gift of meekness, you are going to receive a blessing. Say it with me. Blessing. So, it sounds just a little bit ridiculous, don't it? When you say, I'm going to let you inherit earth. So, young man, what are you going to do with your inheritance? What did he say? You just inherited earth. What are you going to do? Now, if somebody tells me that, I'd say gold, silver, money, all those things that go with that's on planet earth. So you don't know what you would do with it. Okay, do I let it run right? Okay. I don't know what that means. See, it sounds a little bit ridiculous when you think about it. You be good, you walk in meekness, you're going to get the earth. Now, I was thinking on this, and let me tell you, I was thinking, okay, what part of earth do I want? Do I want Oklahoma? Some of you are shaking your heads. Now, I was born in Oklahoma, so be cool. Be cool. There's another lady back there. Then I thought, well, do I want Arkansas? And I kept thinking, nah. So I decided on my own, when he said I would inherit earth, I'm taking the whole enchilada, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, you may say, that sounds a little bit ridiculous. Yes, it does. But that's what the Word says. If I'm operating in the spirit of meekness, guess what? There's a possibility, a good possibility, that I'm going to inherit some good stuff. Come on. Church, do you know God wants to give you and I good stuff? He don't want to give you bad stuff. He wants to give you good stuff. So say it. I receive good stuff. Man, that's deep, isn't it? Aren't you glad you came this morning just for that? Okay. We live in a high-powered country called the United States of America. And we don't know, maybe we do know, about the high energy, the power, and the promoters that's worked through the United States, and the, things like the big wheel. You remember the big wheel that were produced in America? And we know in America, it's all about who's getting ahead. It's there. If I can make more money than you, if I can do this, I can do that, it's there. Jesus said in his teaching, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Does that mean we never speak up and defend ourselves? No, we don't. Injustice does occur in our society. Now, some of you know, as of Wednesday night, I have been the mayor of the mighty town of Bonanza for 5 days. Can you be a preacher and a politician too? But being the mayor, I have more opportunities to give out good news than the other mayor did. Are you hearing me? So we've seen in the mayorship this week, in the city of Bonanza, miracles happen. I resolved the issue, resolved problem. I need to change that. I didn't resolve nothing. God did. People came with issues, everything from goats to pigs in the front yard to water leaks to water bills. I mean, I had it this last 5 days. I can't wait till Monday. I mean, it's exciting what I get to do in that position. But back to my deal. It's the injustice that we come across, and how do we handle it? This young lady came, and they bought, have you heard about the mini homes, the small homes, tiny houses? Have you heard that? Her and her husband bought one, and they moved it in on some property across the railroad tracks, almost in Oklahoma, not quite. And the mayor, ex-mayor, and the city inspector give them what was required for them to move that home in. So they hired a contractor, and he poured some footing. But the footing looks like ocean waves. It's not level. It's not the dimension that he said on his contract. Everything about it is wrong. So this young lady came to my office, and she's crying. I'm looking at my secretary, and I says, what is this? She says, you're going to find out. So she says to me, she says, I don't know what to do. Now, I'm supposed to be a politician, or am I supposed to be a pastor? I get so confused sometimes. And as I talk to her, tears are running down her head. We're out of money. We don't know what to do. And she kept talking and crying and talking and crying. I said, wait here. I said, I'm going to call the city inspector. Can you come back today? And she says, what time? I said, how about 2 o'clock? She said, I'll be here. And you think I'm sounding funny? That's the way she sounded sitting in front of my desk. Now hear me. I'm saying this for a reason. I'm not saying that I'm anything special. I'm saying if we will but seek God, God will give us answers. Are you hearing me? Part of being meekness is to understand that God's in charge and you're not. I may be called mayor, but I'm not in charge. God is in charge. And I made it quite clear to the board that it's not Bill Collins, it's God. And if you don't want God in charge, then I need to get out of the position. So 2 o'clock, she shows up, and the inspector shows up, and we're looking at her, and she comes home, sit down, and she says, I don't have no more money, and I can't live in my house. Well, she hired a contractor to pour her foundation, because you have to have a foundation, right? And we went out and looked at it, and it's like an ocean. He didn't know what a trowel was. He didn't know what a level was. It's supposed to be 24 inches wide, 18 inches deep, and some places it's 8 inches wide, and I don't know how deep it is. You couldn't do nothing with it. So as we went out to her property, she says, what am I going to do? Now hear me. People need help from the church. Are you hearing me? And we've got to be people of answers. We can't guess. And for us to get the answers, we've got to walk in that spirit of meekness, 7:24. So we walked around the property. We looked at it. I didn't know what to do, and I walked out to the end of the footing, and I'm looking at this. And I was thinking that anybody could pour concrete better than this guy poured it. And I walked out there and walked back, and I said, Lord, what do I need to tell her? And she's standing there, and tears running down her eyes. She's got her home set up on blocks, and it's not going to stay there because it's illegal the way she did it. And so I says, call the contractor and tell him this. Tell him you expect him within the next week to fix this. And if he doesn't, we'll go to court with you, the city of Bonanza, and the city inspector, and we'll get his license. She paid him $4,000 to pour footing. 40 feet long, 16 feet wide. And she says, really? I said, yeah, we'll go to court with you. But you call him and you tell him what I'm telling you, that if he doesn't fix this problem, we're going to take him to court and take his license. And she says, does that mean? I said, no. He ripped you off. My job as the mayor is to protect the city and its people. Someone should say amen right now. I'm going to help you out through this. So she called us. That was on Wednesday. She called us on Thursday, and she says, I talked to the contractor, and he said, I know that I did a lousy job, and I thought you could still make it work, but you can't make it work because it's not level. I will come out with no cost to you and fix it. She went from crying to joy, and she was so happy on the phone, she was crying. So I'm listening to this. She talked to the secretary. Says, is she crying because she's happy or sad? And she said, she's happy. Because he said he would do it at no cost. Now listen to me. That's when you walk in the spirit of meekness, you get the benefits of knowing God. Okay? Now I'm going to work through this. Stay with me. So I read a story about some nuns that went to their first professional baseball game. Okay? These nuns were sitting there, and there were some people sitting behind them. And one of the guys says, who was anti-Catholic, said with a loud benefit, our voice says, let's go to Texas. I hear there aren't any Catholics there. Then the other guy sitting behind them says, no, let's go to Oklahoma. Oklahoma hasn't got nothing. There's no Catholics in Oklahoma either. Then the third guy says, no, let's go to Alaska. There's no Catholics in Alaska. Making fun of these nuns. Says one little nun heard all this, and she turned around. She says, I got an idea for you. Why don't you just go to hell because there's no Catholics there either? Now, what I want you to understand is just because you're a child of God, just because you're born again, it don't mean necessarily that you sit down and allow people to trample on you. Are you hearing me? You say, well, that ain't Christian. Really? That little nun didn't think it was very Christian what they were saying just because they was at a baseball game. Blessed are the meek. That doesn't mean that we must accept insults, injustice, and unlimited forbearance. Do you understand that? It doesn't mean that we have to take it. And it's the same thing with Satan. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's what he's trying to do to this church. Are you hearing me? Say, yes, I'm hearing you. You're going to do better than this. Yes, I hear you.
Yes, I hear you.
There is an enemy out there trying to kill, steal, and destroy, and do damage to this church. He has for many years. We're serving notice, whether it's evil spirit or demons or whatever it may be. We're saying, get out of town. You have no place here.
Right.
We're raising up a standard. We're saying, you can't come in. Yes. That's not even my notes, so I'll get to my notes. It could be that the word meek, M-E-E-K, I'm good at spelling, huh? Pretty good. You like that, huh? Okay. Isn't a good translation. It meant something different hundreds of years ago, the old English, than it does today. Okay, put it up there, please. Oh, there you go. See that? I'm pretty. Pastor showed me, got this done for me. Okay. Blessed are the mighty. Say it, mighty. How are we mighty? Not in our own selves, but in our relationship with God. Did you hear me? Do not be a wimp. Do not play dead. Do not roll over. Do not give up. Understand, because you're a child of God, you are mighty. The Bible even says the pulling down of strongholds. That's how strong you are in the things of God. You say, well, no, I don't do that. Start doing it. Stop allowing the devil to tear up your family. Stop allowing the devil to tear up your finances. Stop allowing the devil to bring sickness upon you. God doesn't bring sickness. Hear me. Did you hear me in the back row? Sickness is not from God. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what he wants to do, is sickness. By his stripes, I am what? You guys are acting puny this morning. Try it again. By his stripes, I am? Declare it. Walk in it. Acknowledge it. Let me go a little further. The emotional stability. The word meekness, there's an E, M-E, emotional stability. Do you know why most divorces happen? Because of money? Why did most divorces happen? Communication? Anybody else? Help me, come on, we're talking. Why does divorces happen? Don't get along. Because one or the other is emotionally unstable. How about that? Money problems can be fixed. Are you hearing me? Housing can be, cars and all that can be fixed. But if a person is emotionally disturbed, it's hard to fix them, because it's a spiritual and can be a physical manner. In the word E, me, that we got up there, emotionally stable. That's what's hurting in the United States now. We got government officials that are emotionally unstable. I'll flat out tell you, we got a president that's really unstable. He can't even go up the stairs. You say, well, you're saying that and preaching. I'm saying that because I've seen it. We need to pray more than we are. Emotionally unstable. Now, the pastor gave me on this next word, give me a hard time on that. Can you pronounce the word? That's the way I saw the word, educational. In other words, we, the church, have to be educated with the Word of God to know what our privileges are or aren't. What? You're still laughing at me. Do you think that's a good word? Okay. Good. We also, the last word, I'll make it easy for the pastor, is kind. When somebody attacks you, it doesn't mean that you have to get back at them. It don't mean that you have to show them what's for, but it does mean that we need to walk in the spirit of kindness. And when you walk in the spirit of kindness, you become a winner. You don't become a loser. We could then say, blessed are the mighty. Say it with him. Blessed are the mighty. Say it. Mighty. I'm mighty in the things of God. Come on, church. I'm mighty in the things of God. Okay, you want to be something else? Okay, be puny. I'm puny in the things of God. That sounds good, huh? I'm a, what am I? Don't tell me. What we got to understand is who we are in Christ Jesus. What we got to understand, that we've been given authority. Planet Earth belongs to us and all that's in it. How many had a tornado coming at your house before? Have you had that? What'd you do? Go to the storm cellar, of course. We have a storm cellar at our house, and what's hard is to get the golden doodle and the standard poodle and the miniature dachshund in at the same time. It's almost impossible. So, the last time we went to the storm cellar, I said, bye, dogs. My wife did not appreciate that. She has no sense of humor like you. So, in that, thought pattern is, Why am I running from this thing? I told her when I bought the trailer, our mobile home, I guess, I'd put a storm cellar in. I did. But the 10 years we lived there, we've probably only been in there 4 or 5 times. So I understood my authority ship, and I started to tell the tornado that was coming over the west side of the hills between Hackett and Bonanza to stop. Go someplace else. And I can tell you that it's worked every time. The tornado has stopped and went a different way. Now, I don't know the way that I'm sending it, if those people are praying or not. But I got rid of that tornado. It didn't come to my trailer. Are you hearing me, church? There's authority beginning to the church, and the church has to use that authority. Quit playing dead. Say, that's that old song. What is it? What will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Hey, maybe he wants me on the worship team. What do you think? Yeah, don't go. What real strength is, what real might is you that anoint has the ability to know the word, and you allow the word to be proclaimed out of your mouth. Are you hearing me? In other words, as God speaks and as God delivers the word, he delivers it for a purpose. I either receive that purpose or I don't receive that purpose. And if the word says greater is he that's in me, then I have to receive that word that there's greatness walking in Bill Collins. You may not see it. You may not understand it. But I know that there's greatness walking in me because God is in me. Come on, church. So by that and by that authority, that again, I can use that authority in whatever case, whatever scenario, whatever situation arises in my life, in my family life, to take dominion over. Come on, church. You're going to practice saying amen before we get through this place. Now, a young man allowed his rage to do things that he shouldn't have done, and he's in jail for 10 years. So I got to thinking about that young man, and what I came to the point was, if he would allow the spirit of meekness to take over in him, then he wouldn't be in jail today. And you can ask David about the stories and the stuff that people are in jail for, the craziest stuff. It don't have to be smart stuff. It can be dumb stuff. It don't even have to be their stuff. They were just involved. So I have to allow that spirit of meekness rule my life. 7:24. How many's got a problem with a temper? Don't raise your hands. How many has got a problem with rage? How many's got a problem with rage at drivers on the street? They're pointing at the pastor. Those who remain gentle while building strength, who are merciful while they are mighty, blessed are they, for they are merely winning a war, they're winning hearts of a nation. In other words, there's battles that we are in every day that rages. And the way that you handle that battle determines the outcome. This lady who had this new home that she couldn't live in, the only way she knew to handle it was to go on Facebook and blast the city of Bonanza. She blasted us. I mean, she said how dumb the mayor was and how dumb the inspector was and the things that they want done. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense to me. I mean, she just blasted us. And I, when she came in, I said, I'm not the mayor you were talking about on Facebook. She says, you are the new mayor? I said, yes. She says, well, that wasn't about you. It was about him. I said, I understand it. I don't have a problem with it. But that was the start of healing in her life. Are you hearing me? To clarify who she was talking to and why she said the things she said. Because she was hurt. She didn't know what else to do. People say bad things when they're hurt and they don't know what to do about it. Do you hear me? You ever get in a fight with your wife? Guys? Never, he said. We're going to bring you up here for prayer. Oh, you're not married. That's why you're saying that. I don't know about you, but I want a harvest of the fruits from frustration. When frustration comes, there are fruit that needs to be hatched, baked, come out. In other words, there comes a time that you take the frustration and you lay it aside and you receive the fruits from it. It don't mean that you stay angry. It don't mean that you stay mad. It don't mean that you have a cussing fit. Oh, did I say that? Don't mean that you don't use that five-letter word. Oh, four-letter. Okay, go on. Convert your enemies into friends. I converted that lady that was hurting into a friend. Do you hear me? Short conversation. Ask God what to do, and God came on the scene, and God did it. Now, are you listening to me? Therefore, if I have that ability to take that person that was so angry, so upset at the city of Bonanza, and change what she was thinking and how she was thinking, then understand, there's no limits to what God will do in your life. If you allow him to do it, if you take time to ask him for advice. Hello! It's okay to say, I don't know. I had another guy come, and his bathroom sinks won't drain. What do I care about his bathroom sinks? I don't care if it don't drain or not. But he was serious. He works at Mercy. You probably know him. And he was upset about his bathroom drain, which is a 2-inch line. So I didn't fix the problem. But I went out to his property. I took one of the guys that worked for the city. We went out to his property. And he said, Roto-Rooter came out. They put in 90 foot of snake and still didn't clear it. So I said to him, I said, do you have a septic tank? Oh, no. Are you sure? Oh, no. Have you put a camera down it? Oh, no. That's $300 for a camera. I said, then how are you going to find where the problem is? You know what he said to me? He said, with $300? I said, yeah. You got to start somewhere. You're looking in the wrong place. And he says, well, thank you, Mayor. Why didn't I think of that? I missed the opportunity right there, but I could have said, you're dumb, but I didn't say that. Glad you got the good part. It's coming up, okay? Blessed are the emotional stable. Those that are stable. Those that have a divine posture. People say all the time, well, I can tell in the church who's real and who's not real. And I asked myself that question many times. How do you know if I'm real or not real? How do you know if somebody's real or not real? How do you know he's real? Because he's sitting there. How do you know if someone's really a child of God or not a child of God? By what the Word says. I get a hold of the Word, and the word tells the characteristic of a Christian is this. And if you're walking with those characteristics working in your life, guess what? You're real. Say it with me. I can be real. I can be a child of God. I can have victory after victory. You don't have to lose. You don't have to lay down and play dead. You don't have to give up. Well, you know, I can't do nothing with my kids. My kids are so bad. You don't have to do nothing with the kids but pray. God handles them. The Holy Spirit still works on family members. Hello. But you don't know how bad my kid is. I don't know how bad you was either. He had to get it somewhere in the DNA. Pastor, your daughters are laughing at you over there. I don't know what they're saying. Hear this. People who don't control their emotions will permit themselves to fall in deep depression and oppression. Did you hear me? If you're not controlling your emotions, you are doomed. Boy, you're really lifting the church up today, Bill. Did you hear me? If you don't control your emotions, your emotions will control you, and it will take you, always take you, to places that you don't want to go. And you'll come back and say, man, I should have never said that. I should have never done that. I should have never went to that place. I didn't know they had dope there. I didn't know they had booze there. I didn't know they had that. What did you think they were going to have? It's a bar. And you went there, dummy. See, I'm dealing with the kids. Discouragement and depression. Do you like it or do you not like it? How do you stay out of discouragement? You can't answer all the questions. How do you stay out of discouragement? How do you stay out of depression? What do? You take the red pill or the green pill or the blue ones. Or maybe you take them all at one time. And then you won't know what you are or who you are for that period of time. So how do you handle discouragement? How do you handle it? How do you handle discouragement? Turn to God. How do you handle discouragement? Scripture. You put the word in. You got to have something to root the discouragement out, to tear it out at the roots so it doesn't take hold and take your whole mind and your whole thoughts and your whole conversation. It takes, you know, the Beatitudes is about joy. You know that, right? It's about joy. Happy attitude. The Beatitudes is about joy. God wants his church, wants his people to walk in joy. 7:24. You say, well, you don't know what I'm fighting. I don't care what you're fighting. The Word of God has something for that fight. If you apply the Word of God, the fight will end. Come on, church, get it on. We need to get militant about this thing. We need to get a hold of God and say, God, what do you want me to do about this? What do you want to do about that? I want to see this church full, do you? What are you doing? What are you doing about it? Well, I came today. Thank God. Wow, I was worried. Deborah says, she's in Broken Arrow right now. She says, do you want me to come? I said, no. What? You don't want me to come? No, you already had this event scheduled. You go have this event. The church will talk about me later on. Emotionally stable is those who have the strength to resist temptation. Why is all this guesswork about temptation? Well, I don't know if I can do this. Well, that church across the street does this, and they get by with it. Are you sure? Do you think you can hide anything from God? Do you think you can duck? Right is right, and wrong is wrong. God has words for you. I see everything. I know your thoughts. I know your actions. I know what you believe and what you don't believe. I know you. God knows you better than the pastor knows you. And he knows you better than I want to know you. Emotional stableness. I don't know if that's a word or not. Is stableness a word? I can't talk right now. Stableness. God wants you and I and us stable. If we're not stable, when visitors come in the church, what are they going to see? What are they going to see? Are they going to see you? Oh, I'm at church again. I guess Kent will sing this, and the pastor will preach this. I'm at church again. What are they going to see? We're doing really good at greeting people now. We've improved over the last 6 months. We're not even afraid of new people. That's cool, huh? We used to say you had cooties. Remember that term for you young people? Cooties, you stay back for them. Okay, I'm going to stop. I don't have to stop any time yet. Hey, this ain't Wednesday night. If you resist temptation and you allow the inner strength from the Holy Spirit working on you, you will be successful in life. Are you hearing me? I didn't ask for this mayorship. I didn't seek this mayorship. You know what they did? They said, you're the only one right now that we can put in that can handle this. And I said to them, I said, how do you know I can handle it? Because, let me tell you, because 6 years before every meeting, we have prayer. And guess who gets to lead the prayer? Are you guessing? Well, say it. You. We don't start a meeting at the city council with all those heathens, all those weird people that live in town. You know, we've got people that's never lived in any other town but Bonanza. I've asked people, how many times you go to Fort Smith? Oh, about once a year. Okay, where do you get your food? Oh, my daughter picks it up and brings it to me. Okay. Once a year. So understand this, church. We have to become a church that is emotionally stable. Quit acting freaky, dressing freaky, talking freaky. Be who God called you to be. Dress and speak according to His word. And can I tell you something? If someone comes in and you shake their hand and they say how bad it is and how bad everything is, don't agree with them. Stop agreeing with them. Tell them, God got a plan, brother. He can do something about her. God got ways to do it that you don't. Speak words of the Bible to them. Don't agree with their confession if it's bad. Shut your mouth, nothing else. Glad to see you. Glad to see you. I'm glad you're here. Better than that, than you agreeing with them. Oh, I went to that church and they agreed with all my misery. Stop it. Want to grow a church? Act like somebody. Be stable. Am I okay? Okay. Go to Luke, the 18th chapter. I'm going to close an hour. Luke, nobody left. Luke, the 18th chapter. Are you there? Wait a minute. If you bring a Bible, how do you know I'm telling you the truth? Oh, you got one on her phone? You got one on the phone? You got one on the phone? Wonder if somebody don't... There's one back there, too. Second verse. There was a certain city judge who did not fear God nor regarded man. Do you understand? We have judges don't fear God in the courtrooms. You guys just got some revelation, didn't you? Do you know we have judges don't even fear man? Okay. And there was a certain widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversaries. Now, this woman that came with her house problem, she says, the other mayor did this, and the other one did this, and did this. And she said, I need help. She was like this widow woman. She didn't know what else to do. She was, I don't know what this is, but she was beside herself. You know what that means? Anybody know what that means? What does that mean? What does it mean?
It means you're upset. You're so upset that you don't know what to do.
There you go. Thank you very much. See? I'm glad you come because the rest of these people didn't know that. Oh, you knew that? Family that sticks together. Okay. Fourth verse. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continued coming, she wearies me. Now, what happened? What took place? Why did Jesus use this illustration? Why did he put this in the Bible in red? Why would he say such a thing about a judge? What benefit do I have? See, when you read the word, you have to apply yourself, and you need to sometimes ask, what benefit is this for me? How can I apply this to me? What can I do to improve my condition? How can I improve my thinking? How can I improve my home life if you want your home life improved? Am I real enough, or you want me to stop? See, you're missing all this on Wednesday night. You that don't come Wednesday night, you're really missing it. Okay, I'm going to stop. Well, I got the 12th. I got 12 going. Okay, let's go. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Do you hear that? You know what he's saying to you? He's saying, somebody does wrong to you, you don't have to worry about getting back at them. You got that? If there's a mean girl in your class, you don't have to trip her. You don't have to slap her. You don't have to steal her shoes. You don't have to take her phone. God says, I'll take care of them. Is that it? Is that not what the word says? Do you understand? Don't waste your time and your energy getting back at people because they did you wrong. Leave it alone. Let God take it. He does a better job than you. He's smarter than you. He knows more than you know. So don't step there and say, I'll get them. You wait. I'll get them. I'll put super glue in their chair, and when they sit down, they won't get up ever. You, me, us-ums, we have to leave it at God's hand and say, God, take over. Come on, church. That's an amen statement right there. Not the super glue part, but let God take it. So what are you taking? Okay, I'm going to stop in just a minute. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? I'm asking you, have we got faith in this church? I'm asking you, are we allowing him to take over? I've done a lousy job with my life. But when I turned it over to Christ, Christ put me in so many places that required me to grow. Yes. This mayorship, in 5 days, I had to grow. Now, does it mean that I'm smarter, more handsome, taller, thinner? It don't mean any of that. What it means is I have to rely on God more because I'm in a new position. Yeah. Hear me. You're not what you was yesterday. You're not what you're going to be tomorrow unless you allow God to take over. For the church to grow, we the church, we here this morning, has to allow God to take over. And when we allow God to take over, guess what? God does it the right way. He doesn't like me like I was. So he says, Bill Collins, I will come and grow you up, give you more life, show you more things, reveal more to you. You know what happens when you know more? You know what happens? You say, well, I have my, you know, it's like the old deal about patience. How many prayed for patience? Have you ever prayed for patience? No? You stopped doing it, huh? Do you pray for patience for her? I guess the question would be, are you praying for patience for him? I'm not going to ask you. What we have to understand that is that patience is not a scary thing. Hearing God's voice is not a scary thing. He's not sitting up there with a bolt of lightning. You wait till she does that again. Wham! The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. What does that mean to you? It means you have to give. It means you have to give. That means you have to give. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And it's a high price. God wants you blessed. He wants your marriage blessed. He wants your children blessed. He wants you to grow in the kingdom of God. He wants you to have peace that passes all understanding. He wants the joy to saturate your house. Are you hearing that? I'm just telling you what God wants. Oh, it don't work. There it is. If you're not feeling mighty, raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you too many times. There's one. If you're not feeling mighty, I know that you're little and you're puny and all this stuff. Do you feel mighty? Only with dad, when you got dad under your control. No. How many don't feel mighty? I'm talking about life itself. You don't feel that. I knew I was at the wrong church this morning. Okay, how about emotionally stable? How do you feel? Do you think there's times you're emotionally stable? Are there many times that you're unemotionally stable? My wife says this to me. I can't tell you because she may be listening. No, she can't listen where she's at now. But she says there are certain times of the... Never mind, I'm not going to say that. That you female feel unstable. Now, that other word... If you don't have enough education, what do you do about that? He says, pick up the cell phone. Let me tell you what I did. I was 33 years old. I was pastoring a church. And I knew that I didn't have what it takes. I went back to school. And it took not 1, 2, 3 years to get my doctorate of theology. So I'm really Dr. Bill. So that's what you can call me for now. I'm Dr. Bill. I had to do something about my condition, or my condition would have stayed the same. So what I needed in my life was more education. Are you hearing me, church? So if you get highly educated in the things of God, guess what? You're going to be highly mighty. You're going to win more than you lose. Are you hearing me? You're going to let the joy of the Lord hit you. Wouldn't it be great if you people came into church, Kelly, and they said, there's so much joy in this church. Can I have some appeals? And we'll say, well, Kelly works for Mercy. She can get you all you want. No. You've got a problem with your family. They laughed at you, you know. What does God want out of you? What does he want out of you? Aren't you glad you come so I could pick on you? Yeah. I was worried you wasn't going to come back in there for this part. What does God want out of you? What does God want out of you? I pick on everybody, you know. What does God want out of you? Everybody's waiting. Don't help her by adding laughter. What does God want out of you, sir? There you go. He pointed up there. I guess that means that stuff up there. What does God want out of you? If you don't know, it's okay that you don't know. But it's not okay for you to stay that way. It's not okay for you to lay dormant and say, what will be, que sera, sera. The future's not ours to see. Where's Ken at? I keep doing the saying and he don't show up. So my end result is this. You only get from God what you receive from God. And if you don't want to receive, you don't have to. But I want to tell you, I'm moving on. I want more of God than I've ever had before in my life. I want God to expose more to me. I want more revelation knowledge. I want more instructions. I want more patience. And it's not an evil thing. I want more of his glory in my life. I want to get to the place that when I meet people at City Hall, I can lead them to the Lord right there at my office. Care about the rest of the town. I'm concerned about people getting in the kingdom of God. Because the town ain't going to change if the people are not going to change. Do you hear me? You're still going to have the people with 15 dogs. You're still going to have the people with, oh, we got a new issue in town, pigs. People have started collecting pigs. There's one person, she belongs to 4-H, and she's got 18 pigs. And she calls them piglets. Right across from the house, right across from me. And somebody brought me up. He said, there's an ordinance in the city of Bonanza that you can't raise pigs. So, Mayor, what are you going to do about the pig population? I bet no other town has that problem. Another guy on the hill. He come in and he says, the neighbor has 23 pigs out in that field. And if they go to the bathroom, it'll run down to my pond and it'll make my cows sick. What are you going to do, Mayor? I'm having a lot of pork chops, a lot of bacon, a lot of ham. No. What I'm telling you that is this, and it does sound funny, I am joking around, but I want you to understand there's not a problem, there's not an issue that God can't handle if you allow him to show you. But you got to ask. You got to seek. You got to knock. You got to learn to be meek. You got to learn to allow these characteristics to grow in your life. You cannot be a good father or a good husband if these are not in your life. You cannot be a good wife if you don't allow these things to grow in your life. You cannot be a good church member if you don't allow these things to grow in your life. I don't know if I've hurt the church or helped the church tonight. Will you stand? Look there. I can get you to Applebee's before 12 o'clock. Pretty cool. Huh? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I asked you earlier, how many realize that there's might that's available? You can be mighty in the kingdom of God. I asked you about emotional stability, and are you stable? I asked you about education, educable, being able to be educated. You guys like this, don't you? You like this word? That's all right. I don't chart. Me and Webster, we got this figured out. I have a hard time. And being kind. If these things aren't working in your life, will you say, God, I need this. God, I need to be kind. Husbands, you better be kind to your wife. Fathers, you got to be kind to your kid. Kids, you got to be kind to your dad and mom.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? This doesn't work if you don't practice it and work at it. I'm not going to say you're going to get all the answers at one time, but I am going to tell you their answers are available if you want them. Beatitudes, be happy. If you haven't got happiness and you're sad all the time, you need something working in your life. You need the joy of the Lord. We should come to church and enjoy one another. We should come to church and be happy. We should come to church and sing that we blow the rafters out. We should allow the Spirit of God to take over us and heal us. He doesn't want none of you sick. He don't want none of you without. He wants your life blessed. He wants your kids' life blessed. Got kids married and having some issues? Tell them. Flat out tell them. You need God. You need God. That's the only answer. Mom and Dad can't fix it all of things, but God can. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service. We're thanking for what you're doing in this church. We thank you, God, that we are learning how mighty we are through the price that Jesus Christ paid. Father, we're learning about emotional stability and that we are to be stable in the things of God and in life. Not caught off guard. Not say, why this has happened to me or why does this take place? Why? No, we're stable because we know that you care for us. And Father, we do need more education. We need to know more about you, more about your word, more about it working in our lives. And Father, we have to practice being kind. We have to work at it. And Father, I ask you to touch this congregation. Whatever area in this that you're missing, ask God to touch you. Ask God to fill you. Ask God to change you, that you become that lovable person that God intended you to be. I bind confusion. I bind demonology, I bind sickness, and I bind the lack of finances. Father, I'm asking that this congregation start receiving money from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Father, we're asking for financial blessings. Father, we give you the praise and we give you the glory, and I speak healing, supernatural healing to this church in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. And when you say amen, that means so be it. That means you're in agreement of all everything I pray. Amen? Nobody went to sleep. Praise God for that one. Okay. Do I take up the offering or do you? You want me to? Okay, I got it. Okay. Okay. The pastor told me, you might want to leave right now. Oh, have a seat just for a moment. Just for a moment.